Welcome to Catalytic Leadership, the podcast designed to help leaders intentionally grow and thrive. Here is your host, author, and leadership and executive coach, Dr. William Attaway.
I am thrilled today to have Kelly Rizzi on the podcast. Kelly is passionate about helping business owners, teams, and organizations to gain an understanding of the mind patterns that result in stress, burnout, and overwhelm. Through her speaking and coaching, Kelly has helped thousands elevate their success and well-being. Kelly is CEO of Rise Up and Live Wellness and a contributing author in the Amazon International bestseller Fearless and Fabulous. She's been featured on ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS, as well as many other online media outlets. She's also the host of the podcast Winning in Business. Kelly's expertise is derived from being in the wellness industry for more than 12 years, plus her two master coaching certifications specializing in neuroscience, mindset, communication, and behaviors. Kelly, I'm so excited you're here. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to have our conversation today.
Me too. I would love to begin with you sharing some of your story with our listeners, particularly around your journey and your development as a leader. How did you get started?
Yeah, so I feel like I've always been a leader in just growing up and, you know, doing things and finding myself in those leadership positions. And, you know, my story is then I became a business owner, and you are the leader.
That's true, whether you want to be or not. That's
yes, right. Exactly. Some days, you know, you love it, and others you wonder. But within that, what had happened to me, which is part of my big story and what I do, is taking on this leadership role and really, it was the striving and the driving and, you know, just really wanting to succeed and do everything well that I found myself in the hospital. And with, you know, I ended up in supraventricular tachycardia. And so one night my heart's racing and, you know, can't get it to stop. And I'm breathing and reminding myself of everything I know. And it was really the stress. It was really I was someone who was like overdoing everything. And if you look to me, I was living a very healthy life. I was taking care. I was prioritizing myself. I was exercising. I was eating well. I was just taking everything to the extremes. And that kind of bit me in the butt and had me do a little bit of a wake-up call, which now is one of the reasons that I work with entrepreneurs who are leaders, leaders of organizations and teams to really help them manage their stress well and recognize the symptoms and the signs so that the same thing doesn't happen to them, right? We only have one body to live in. We have one life, and that's we need to make the best of it. So that was kind of my leadership and my stress story all wrapped into one.
Wow. You know, I love that you have taken something that happened to you that was not something you would have chosen, but you've learned to leverage that and use it for the benefit of other people so they don't have to experience what you did.
Yes. Yes. And you know, how, like everything is hindsight, right? We learn our lessons from looking back. And I'm like, ooh, if I can teach people these lessons and for them to be able to see the signs, the symptoms, to really recognize things ahead of time, then they can course correct as they go, you know, based on, you know, my lessons. So yeah, it's really important and empowering.
So you draw a very strong connection between mindset and stress. Why do you do that?
So as I said, looking back, it was my mindset that was really where my mindset was causing the stress. And so it was the mindset of thinking I had to do everything, thinking I had to do it on my own, thinking I had to be perfect at it, you know, thinking I needed to get from point A to point Z like as fast as possible, almost like not appreciating the journey, you know, and so just recognizing that and my mindset patterns around it and really looking at where do those beliefs come from? Are the beliefs still true? where did they come from? And is it time to let some of them go? And so I feel like stress is definitely related to the mind and our mind. I call them mind patterns because they're patterns that we continue to run, right? Until we need to snap out of it, or someone such as a coach, as yourself, like I do, is able to see the blind spots for people so that then they can stop and recognize and really become aware of it.
You know, we both work with leaders in this field, and it's fascinating to me how many people don't make that connection that you just made so well between stress and mindset. But they don't just, like, stress doesn't just come from your mindset. These two things can affect your productivity. They can affect your whole life, your focus, right?
Yes. Yes. I feel like, you know, when we look at that, it does affect, you know, focus, it affects follow through, it affects relationships, it affects even like our relationship with ourselves. So not only relationships with others, but even our relationship with ourselves as well. And can really just, I feel like it can hinder the energy that we can spread into the world and the impact that we can make because of the stressful energy. And I think the interesting thing is we are also conditioned in the mind pattern of, if you're going to be a business owner, you're going to be stressed. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to be stressed. Now, I feel like the work and the mindset work that I do, the strategies, stress is going to be around. Are you aware of it, and can you respond to it? And did you have specific strategies that can really help you quickly because you know your stress personalities? And I do feel like there are some stress management techniques that are better for one, you know, one way that's causing stress than another way that's causing stress.
That's interesting. You know, you mentioned a term in our first conversation that I had never heard before. You talked about stress personalities. I never connected this idea, this concept. I would love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So stress personalities, the most common that I talk about when I'm out speaking, one is the overachiever. And so as an overachiever, that is a stress personality, you know, for us. Another one is perfectionist. Right? Because that causes stress. It can be the stress of overanalyzing things, making sure everything is perfect. Then we're, the best thing for perfectionists is deadlines, because then you can no longer be perfect. Have to get it done.
That's good.
Another one is the comparer, right? And I feel like social media really brings out the stress personality of the comparer. And we get on social media and we can immediately start comparing ourselves to either how we're being better than someone or how we're less than someone. And so to me, that's a stress personality. Another one that I found for myself was a rule follower. And, you know, when you're a rule follower and everything is black or white, and there's, you know, when really in reality, there's a whole lot of flexibility and a whole lot of gray in there. But I feel like those are some of the big stress personalities I've identified as I continue through life and continue the analyzing. I'm probably up to about 15 by now, at least. Wow. But those are some of the top ones that I see.
You know, as you say those, I think, oh, that's me, or oh, that's somebody I know. Mm-hmm. Like somebody immediately comes into mind for each one of those.
Yes.
Do you find that there's a lot of misconceptions or myths around this whole idea of mindset and stress and learning how to manage this in your work? Do you see a lot of misconceptions?
So one of the misconceptions that I see is that stress just has to be a part of our life. Again, it's one of those, well, like, unless I completely leave my job or my spouse or get rid of my kids or, you know what I mean? Whatever. I just have to be in this stressful place, when really what we focus on grows. And so when we focus on the stress and all the things we have to do, then that grows, that tension grows, instead of looking at it and thinking about the more peaceful, positive aspects of it, and that the work that we love to do. So yes, I have a lot of work to do, but I love this work. And so it's all going to be okay. And I enjoy doing it. And the people that I'm out meeting, and that, you know, just however you can change that, that automatically, like just saying that from here's my to-do list to the opportunities that I have because of my children, my spouse, my job, you know, anything that carries that stress of just changing the way that you look at it. And, you know, another thing that stress can do that I think is a misconception is that it's so, it can be dangerous for our body if we don't address it, right? But at the same time, there's some good things about stress. If you can use it to come together with other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can use it if you ask for help, if you're like, if you then go out and let's say, you know, that a strategy for you is the whole attitude of gratitude. And then you're going out and serving other people, like that can really be good. Yeah. So you're taking, you know, you're stressed, but you're taking that and now doing something with your stress by serving other people in a way that maybe you wouldn't, you know, not necessarily with your job, but something outside of that. And that can bring people together in community. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm thinking about that in different environments that I'm in and how, you know, adversity and stress can, not always, but they can bring people together like that.
Yes.
In a really strong way and can strengthen relationships.
Yes.
That's so true.
Yeah. And so I think that's important for people to look at it is that, and not all stress is bad. There's good stress.
Yeah.
For example, in my early 20s, I went skydiving and I jumped out of a plane by myself. It was static line. So I knew my parachute was going to open. But that was a good stress. Was there stress there? Heck yeah. I'm getting ready to just like, you know, dive out of the plane, but that's that good stress that we have. And so not all stress is bad there. And the good stress is called eustress. It's spelled eustress. Hmm. And so there is good stress. Then there's acute stress that in the acute stress, our body is designed to handle acute stress. And this goes back to way back in the day when, you know, you needed to hunt for food or there's a predator coming up. Like our body is meant to help us run away from those situations, survive those situations, and our blood pressure, everything like increases, muscle tension, all, and then it just returns back to normal. What's happening is now we're living like a lion is always chasing us, which puts us in chronic stress. And that's the stress that's dangerous.
Wow. Do you see clients interpret their circumstances in unhealthy ways? Like you described the predator, you know, and the idea that you're being chased by a lion. Do you see people who respond to stimuli that are not even close to that kind of life or death, but they respond in that same way? You know, I have to speak in front of people, or I have to get on a cold call with a prospect. Do you see them like amp up to that same level of stress?
Yes. And I think a lot of that comes from, I'm going to go back to our beliefs, right? And what we've been programmed. Yeah. And if we've been programmed for things like that, then you automatically, like it becomes so heightened. Mm. And so that's where I say, you know, there's a couple things when working on mindset. I think it's also so important to not only clear mental clutter, I think it's so important to clear emotional clutter, because it's the emotional piece wrapped around that that sends us into that fight or flight based on our past. And usually it's based on things that happened when we were ages 0 to 7, right? Mm. Like so young that... And then we've been programmed, and then things have happened on top of that. And, you know, someone made fun of you way back, you know, in kindergarten when you went to stand up and speak. And now you're like, I can't speak in public. When, you know, and so however you interpreted it and you carry that in you, now it is just, you know, grown and grown and grown to where it's kind of unreasonable, as you said.
And sometimes, like those things that are formed early we're not even fully aware of, right?
Correct. Yes.
I mean, I've watched entrepreneurs have incredibly unhealthy views around money.
Yes.
Based on stuff that happened when they were kids.
Yes. Yes. That is something that I work with clients on, is that whole money mindset, because I think that's so important, of really looking at what are your beliefs that you are carrying around that you may not even know that you're carrying around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, we have to be willing to invest in ourselves, invest in our business. We have to be willing to spend money. You know what I mean? And depending on your relationship with money. And at the same time, we have to know our worth.
Yeah.
And if you struggle with that, then you're always going to be keeping your prices low and, you know, playing on the small side instead of going big.
And that communicates your value as much as anything else, right? When you price yourself low, you're pricing your value low.
Correct. Yeah. So there's a lot of mindset stuff, you know, and was something that I have learned along the way through my journey. And I went through this one day deep dive myself. And in that one day deep dive, we looked at anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt, where those originally have showed up. And we clear that up and looking at things that have happened in a whole different way, more really in a positive light. And although sometimes people are like, how can I look at that awful situation in a positive light? Well, you can empower yourself to do that. Clearing up limiting beliefs. And then back to the money thing, values. Your unconscious mind and your conscious mind, your values aren't always aligned. And so typically we're working from our conscious mind, right? What's right in front of us, instead of the programs running in the back. And so you're trying to hit these goals, you're trying to do things, you're trying to live a certain way, and you're not getting there at all. And you feel like you're like, you know, hitting a brick wall. Yeah. And that is because your unconscious mind and your conscious mind is not aligned. And so the work I do helps align that, so that then you can really be on your way faster, easier. It's just more natural, I'm going to say, instead of the fight or the grind. It's just easier.
You know, one thing that is a big topic in the entrepreneurial world is this idea of work-life balance, which for too many is a laughable concept. Right? There is no balance. It's just work, work, and more work, and then life fits in the cracks.
Yes.
And you talk about this, like you teach techniques to help entrepreneurs in this area. What are some of the techniques that you talk about?
So I'll share one of the big things that we have to like reframe in our mindset is we need to get rid of work-life balance.
Yes.
Because if we think about balance, you're thinking about that balance scale, that it is going to be 50-50.
Right.
And there's not even enough hour in the days if we want to sleep, to really have it be 50 life, 50 work, like it's just, you know, unless you are really structuring your business now around the 4-hour work week. And, you know, then we might be able to talk about a little bit more balance, but let's just say you're the normal business leader, entrepreneur. And, you know, I think it's really, first of all, let's scrap the word balance. I do use the word balance because I feel like it's a term that if you were going to search for something, that's what you'd be searching for. Yeah. And it's time we start looking at harmony, work-life harmony. And in that life harmony, you know what? Sometimes it's going to be days where there's more family and less work. And sometimes it's going to be a day where there's a little bit more work and a little less more family. And it could also be seasons, depending on the type of work that you do. And really just what is the harmony for you to feel that peace that you're like, okay, I had quality time with my family. I prioritized myself. You know, I got a workout in. You know, I slept, like things like that. And I'm still able to work this much. And that is different for everybody. I don't feel like there's an exact formula. It's really what is that peace of mind for you that you're looking for? And if you don't have enough of that, then it's really about, then how do I help you get hours back into your day? Because if you're not doing that, we have to figure out where to get hours. And, you know, is that a focus problem? Is that a systems and processes problems, which I am not an expert at, right? But like what, you know, what needs to happen to get more hours so that you can have more harmony.
I love that term. And I love that you said that there's not a one size fits all for this, for everybody, that everybody has to fit in this thing. I think sometimes, especially with entrepreneurs, there is this idea, well, I should be here. I should be at this. I should be able to bounce. And that's a dangerous word when it comes to your mindset, because you're comparing yourself to something.
Yes, exactly. And I think is what you're comparing yourself to realistic?
Yes.
Right? Because, you know, we don't know what is going on for maybe the people that are living this way that we're comparing ourselves to. We have no idea really the backstory or maybe all the details of their life to be comparing ourselves to. You know, another thing that I do with my clients is anytime there's the should, I should, you know, how can we change that? Is it I get to? Is it, you know what I mean? But like just little words that you can change so it doesn't feel so should and judgmental and comparing.
Yes. Well,
which you creates tension and stress.
Absolutely. I had a counselor once tell me that I use that word way too much, should. She said, you have to stop shoulding all over yourself. And I thought, it was so brilliant. I love that. But I hear it all the time in the entrepreneurial world. I hear this all the time with business leaders and business owners.
Yeah.
They're comparing their every day to somebody else's highlight reel that they see online.
Yes.
And that's so unhealthy.
Yeah. Or you're comparing, you know, your first 5 years of business and you're comparing yourself to someone who's literally been doing this for 20 years. Yes. Right. You know, I should be here. You know, wait, hang on. What were they doing back here? You know, it is really dangerous because I feel like it can put us into some traps. Into some stress, into mind patterns that are not healthy for us at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you're a business owner, you're a leader, you have people who are working for you that are in various stages of stress and in various places with this harmony that we're talking about, are there things that leaders can do to help their team members to reduce their unhealthy stress?
So let's start with, first of all, I think it's really important for the leaders to make sure they're addressing their stress.
Go first.
And looking at boundaries and what boundaries have they set up. You know, one of my clients had, she was working for someone that was emailing and texting at all hours of the night, expecting immediate responses. And you know what I mean? So that leader, that boss, did not have boundaries for themselves or their team, which then created a whole host of resentment and just an unhealthy team. And so she ended up leaving that team and went and worked, you know, somewhere else. And like the difference. So I think it's so important for leaders to make sure that they have a coach, that they are doing the internal, and I'm going to call it very much internal work on themselves so that they can be the best. And when they are the best, they have boundaries in place. They have healthy habits in place, great communication. Then it will trickle down into their team. And I also think they can also recognize it more when they've done the work themselves. Mm-hmm. You can't expect someone else to do the work if you haven't done your own internal work first.
So good. Leaders go first. You're not modeling the way, you cannot expect it from somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's so good. You know, in a previous conversation, you and I talked about something that intrigues me.
Okay.
You mentioned that your clients regain time, focus, and control through a one-day breakthrough experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Tell me what this looks like. Who is this suitable for? How does that work?
I tell you what, the one-day breakthrough is suitable for leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs. Honestly, it's suitable for anyone that will invest in themselves. Mm. Okay. You know, you have to be in the mindset of when I invest in myself, the possibilities of the world opening up for you, right? And having that different level of energy that then brings in new opportunities for you.
Good.
And, you know, in that one day, as I said, there are so many things that are released in your mind. Like we literally make your neurology go and like almost snap it into like a new way.
Yeah.
It's really like reprogramming it. And like, we have to look at it in a whole new way and reprogram our brain to truly move forward. And, you know, as I said, that when you have mental clutter, focus is not clear, follow-up is not clear, your day gets away from you, you know, just things like that, as well as emotional clutter. Yeah. Because that whole EQ piece, I mean, I think that's another big thing for leaders is, you know, have you done the emotional intelligence assessment? And where are you? Are you self-aware? Do you know how to regulate your emotions? And if so, awesome. If not, that's an area to work on. And then how are you in a, like if you're leading a team, you have to be good at reading the room, right? Yeah. Knowing the temperature of the team, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And then if it's not good, do you know how to regulate that? And I think that when you go in for yourself and do a deep dive and get those negative emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt. Like how many people do we know that are so quick to anger, right? And that
That's
quick
so good.
To anger, we go back, it happened from events way back in their childhood, or maybe it was even something that's just generational, an anger piece, it's generational. And you carry that and all these events compound and compound on top of each other. And then the next thing you know, you're flying off the handle at the littlest thing. And when you can bring that, I call them leveling off. It's not that you'll never be angry again. It's not that you'll ever have fear again. It's leveling it off so that it's appropriate. You're having anger at an appropriate time, fear at an appropriate time, and it never just like blows up. And that's important, especially when you're in, well, I feel like that's important for everyone, whether you're a parent, whether you're a leader, whether you're an entrepreneur, like just, it's huge. And if we think about today's world, how much of a better place it would be if we, I just know the difference that it has made in me.
Yeah,
You know, my from generational, my anger was higher than it should have been. Mm-hmm. I had some fear that was higher than it should have been. And that was from my childhood and things that, you know, just things that I grew up with. And then guilt. Also, and those just leveling those off, it can change your whole day and can change how you relate with other people. And as I always bring back to just the energy that you're releasing off.
You know, that's so insightful, Kelly. I often talk about this with in terms of a tea kettle. You know, this stuff is going to build up inside of you.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn how to release the pressure.
Yes.
It will release. It's going to come out sideways usually.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's interesting because my clients that come in and do this, they have often had therapy, okay? And therapy, great. Like, invest in yourself, do some therapy, like all for that. And they have also said that they're like, wow, like my therapy didn't touch this. In a way that we did today. And remember what I said, looking at it, things in like that positive light, you look at it so differently.
Yeah.
And so it is like therapy on steroids because there's also like, when I talk about one day, I'm talking about 8 hours, right? Like, so it is a one day deep dive. But if you think about, you know, typical therapy sessions, 50 minutes,
you're
like, okay, see you in 2 weeks. whereas because we have so much time to dig into this, and I have very specific modalities that do make your neurology go and like realign in a new different way, it's huge. It truly is life-changing.
Wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
I want to talk about you for a minute. I want to talk about you as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your business needs you to lead at a different level today than it did a year ago or 5 years ago.
Yes.
And that same thing will be true a year from now and 5 years from now. You're going to have to lead at a different level. Yes. How are you leveling up? How do you stay on top of your game?
Yeah, that is a great question. So just like I do the internal work with my clients, mm-hmm. I am always doing the internal work with me. with myself, right? So I am always doing that internal work. I'm always trying to figure out what is the thing that is hidden back here that can come up to the front, and I address it and go, oh, you know what I mean? And we all have those hidden things that are back there. And so I'm always continuing to do that. I do a lot of reading that, you know, just what's current and what did I miss that, oh, that was out 5 years ago. And that would be really helpful for me right now. I don't know about you, but I always feel like the right books come along at the exact right time, even if it was written 20 years ago, whatever, or if it was written yesterday. It usually comes along right at the right time. The other thing I do is I continue to surround myself with other leaders, you know, because we know that surrounding ourselves with those people also helps us grow, also gives us a sounding board that we feel safe. I think that's important. Is having those people that you can bounce things off of and really be your true authentic self.
Yes.
Because that will make a difference also.
Love that. You know, some of the people listening may be looking at you and saying, wow, Kelly's got it all together. Like her entrepreneurial journey has just been up and to the right. Like she's never faced the struggles that I face. She's never had the challenges that I have. You have anything you'd like to share?
Okay. So it's very interesting because, I was on a really good trajectory, and you'd think with someone who was, I was a life coach and, you know, in stress and the pandemic hits, wouldn't you think everybody would have been like, I need a Kelly.
Right.
Oh no. People were like, they were so stressed. They were so almost like just trying to keep their forehead above water, much less their whole head above water. Right. Yeah. And so it wasn't even on the radar of them really taking care of themselves. We were truly in survival mode, right? Yeah. Depending on where you were and, you know, your work, people are working from home and now they got kids. I was lucky. My kids were older at that time. Now you got kids trying to find them computers and put them. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my business, I did not do a lot that year. Wow. So then I had to go back and rebuild. And then this past year, I've been scaling my business, which is a whole nother challenge, let's just say, right? And so I find myself doing a lot of the stress management techniques that I teach my clients, the same thing about that inner work. Like I do that inner work so that I can keep, I guess, myself in the healthy space that I need to, so that I'm not either like trying to run through things like a cheetah, because that's burnout.
Yeah.
Or I'm not like retreating like a turtle into a shell. Just leave me alone and I'll come back in a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So really just using those techniques that I use. And you know, as we know, one of the easiest is just breathing. It's just stopping and taking deep breaths, right? That's the easiest to at least bring some awareness and remind our body that, hey, we're not being chased by a lion. Like right now in the present moment, right now in the present moment, I am okay.
Yeah.
And right now in the present, again, this present moment, I'm okay. And so I find myself using a lot of my own techniques as I move through things that in the past, before I did all this work, I would have been back in the hospital. And so I have learned through that and through my research, and now I apply it to myself.
I love that. Is there a book that has made a big difference in your journey? You know, with continual learners, we're just constantly reading, and you've talked about that already. But sometimes there's a book that really resonates, that is just the right thing at just the right moment, that really stands out.
So one of the books that I refer back to the most that is like always readily available is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And in there, she talks about all of the different symptoms, and all of the symptoms that we have in our body come from our thoughts. Right? We know this from neuroscience that our thoughts can change the chemistry of our body.
Right.
And so I'm constantly with my clients, with myself, whatever, you know, grabbing that book, looking to see what it says, and then looking at like, okay, now what do I need to do to address that, right? Mm-hmm. What mindset do I need to change to? What do I need to let go of that I am doing way too much of? What do I need to bring in that I'm not doing right now? You know, and just, it is a very powerful book, and it's probably the one that I reference the most.
Mm. Thank you for that. I'm not familiar with that book. Now I have to check it out.
Yes, it's powerful.
You know, often people will leave an episode like this, Kelly, and they'll have one big idea that kind of stuck out to them. You know, one thing that they carry with them. If you were to define what that one big idea is that you would like people to walk away with, what's that idea?
I think the idea is recognizing your stress is important, and you can make big shifts in your mental and emotional clutter in one day. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be this long, overwhelming, dreadful, you know, process that takes time. It can be done in one day. You can make significant gains that will truly help your stress level decrease in general.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I know people are going to want to continue to learn from you and stay connected with you. What is the best way for them to do that?
You know, I think like I love LinkedIn. I feel like as professionals, as leaders, you know, business owners, LinkedIn is our spot. Yeah. And so you can connect with me on LinkedIn. My first name is Kelly with an I, and last name is Risse, RISSE. And from there, you know, I always give a complimentary call because I think it's so important. And so I do offer that. It's called a strategy call. It's complimentary, 30 minutes just to deep dive, and everybody walks away with an aha, whether you choose to move forward or not. And my business is called Rise Up and Live Wellness, because I thought when I started my business, really from the place that I used to be, I knew I needed to rise up. I needed to get myself in a higher energy place instead of the running ragged. And so that's where the name of my business came from.
That's so fantastic. Well, I'm going to encourage everybody listening to connect with you and to continue to learn. This has been fascinating. And I'm so grateful for your generosity and sharing so freely today, Kelly.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a joy. I just know from our conversation before, we could probably talk for 4 hours on things.
At least. I have learned so much, and I know our listeners have as well.
Thanks for listening to Catalytic Leadership with Dr. William Attaway. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. Want more? Go to catalyticleadership.net.